Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
Say is your favorite name of Jesus. I mean, in the Bible, you have so many descriptions or titles or names for Jesus. Which ones come to your mind, and which one would you say is your favorite one? Proverbs 22 and 6 is a familiar passage. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And Shakespeare said, "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Is there anything in a name? Well, sometimes there's been a lot in a name. Zechariah, the father of John, upon John's birth, said, well, he wrote it down emphatically, his name is John. His name is John. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi anymore. My name is Mara. It means bitter. Bitter. And God believes in names, and God is very careful to pay attention to people's names. And sometimes in the Bible, he would change people's names. He didn't change Adam's name, but he did change Eve's. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2. And God called their name Adam. He didn't change Noah's name, but he changed Abram's name to Abraham. Cephas to Peter. Saul to Paul. He wants to change your name if you're not a Christian, by the way. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2. He said, you know what? This is a prophecy now. Look into the future from Isaiah. And he says, God's going to give them a new name. The Lord will name this name. And it's going to be new, and it will come when the Gentiles come to see thy glory. So you jump over to the New Testament, and you see in chapter 10, the Gentiles, first Gentile Christians, Cornelius, the Gentiles received the glory of Jesus Christ. In chapter 11, the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. God pays attention to names. Matthew 1 and 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. I want you just to relax for a few minutes, and I want to do what Psalm 46 and 10 says, you know, when he talks about all the calamities of life, all the stresses of life, and hardships, and he says, be still and know that I am God. Would you just spend a few minutes with me and let's ponder some of the names of our Savior? I want to take about a half a dozen of them. There are so very many, so I've just pulled out a few names of Jesus, titles of Jesus. The first one I want to look at is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and 6, and it's describing Jesus, who is yet to come to the earth at this time, of course. But in prophecy, he says he's going to be a counselor and a prince of peace. But he's also going to be the mighty God and everlasting Father. Some are very ill at ease with calling Jesus God, and so they've tried to change this to a mistranslation and call it hero. He's mighty hero, but that's not what it says. It says mighty God. Furthermore, the Bible is full of passages that describe Jesus as God. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. He's God. In John chapter 20 and verse 28, doubting Thomas said, I want to feel the prints in his hands and in his side. And he did that. Jesus showed him the evidence. And remember, Thomas' reaction was, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, God never said this to the angels, but to Jesus he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. He's God. And this passage, Isaiah 9, 6, describes Him as the mighty God and everlasting Father. I'm so glad He's everlasting. You know, it was hard enough. It is hard enough for us to bear the reality of the cross and that Jesus died a physical death, despite the fact that we know he continues to live and shall forevermore. But what if that wasn't true, and what if he died forever? We cannot bear the thought. What if he were capable of dying forever? And that's what, you know, this says he's the everlasting Father. He's everlasting. The greatest compliment ever paid to the human race is found in Hebrews 2 and verse 14. The greatest compliment that I can imagine to the race of humans is that Jesus came and became one of us. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise also took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What do you call that? You call it the mighty God and the everlasting Father. Let's do another one. I love this one. Revelation 22 and verse 16. Jesus' name is the, and you've heard this one, is the bright and morning star. Isn't that something? The morning star is, and you don't see it every time, but in some seasons, you know, there's a star that comes just before dawn. You see it just before daybreak, and it's called the bright and the morning star. The significance of Jesus being called this is that we face so many problems in our lives, and sometimes the burdens of this life weigh very heavy upon us. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And then the light comes on. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know what it is? It's that we sit in darkness. And I'll tell you something about being sick. And you have. You know what it feels like to be sick. It's worse at night. It's always worse at night. Pain is more severe at night. Sickness more severe at night. We long for the day. And you can imagine weary travelers in the olden times, and it comes so late and so dark they couldn't travel any further, couldn't see. They wait for the morning light so they can start back again on their journey. And then there's that light. And for Christians, there's this light. And it's Jesus. And it's the Lord. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 78, Zechariah, at the birth of John, prophesies. And he says, we have been visited by the day spring. It's the same concept as the bright and morning star. The day spring is what you've experienced many times when you get up early and there's that first hint. It is the harbinger of day. It is the first hint of day coming, and just the light just barely starts to break forth. And he says, Jesus is that. Jesus is the day spring. Jesus in our lives that so often are plagued with the darkness of problems and pain and heartache. Jesus is that day spring, and he's the bright and morning star. Let's do another. Here's Luke chapter 1 and verse 69. I like this one. In that same prophecy, Zechariah, John the Baptist's daddy, referred to Jesus as the horn of our salvation. This has to do with your confidence of going to heaven. Are you going to heaven when you die? I mean, if you get finished living on this earth tonight, are you going to heaven? And the fact is, if you are in Christ, you say, the way of the cross leads home, and I am in Christ. And the answer, praise God, is yes. I'm going to heaven, not because I've earned it, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's because of him and because of his righteousness. How do you describe that? Zechariah in prophecy says that he's the horn of our salvation. Now, you think about a rhinoceros. And the horn is his strength, it's his defense. Or a ram, or a bull. You see, the horns are the front defense, and it's the strength there. And the idea is that Jesus is that for me. And I sometimes face doubts, and when I do, I think, am I going to go to heaven? Will I go to heaven? And then I think, but Jesus is, are you ready for this? He's the horn of my salvation. He's out in front. He's the strength. He's the solid part. He's the protector. I'm going to glory because of Him. What's His name? His name is the horn of my salvation. Or what about this one? John chapter 10 and verse 14. He is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, I know that He's my master. I mean, you know what master means. If He's my master, that means there's a sense of which I'm His slave. And yet, when you think about Jesus, you're His disciple. He is your Lord. So we are under Him, and we serve and we pay obeisance to Him, and we live under His leadership and His guidance. But what kind of leader is He? I mean, how would you like for Him to be described? And the wonder of this is that He's not a heartless, angry dictator. He's not a Hitler or a Mussolini or a Stalin or a Hussein. He's not like any of what He is. How would you describe this kind of leadership, this kind of ownership, this kind of mastership? And the answer is, He's the good shepherd. Doesn't that send your mind to wandering? I mean, how many passages can you think about that have to do with Jesus as our shepherd? And the most famous, of course, is the 23rd. The Lord is my shepherd. Or how about Psalm 100? Don't you love it? He says that we are the sheep of His pasture, and enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. The Lord, He is good. He's good. What are we? We're the flock. See, we're the sheep. And in John chapter 10, where He says He's the good shepherd, He really develops this idea of a shepherd and the sheep. And the reason it's there is to give us this comfort, the security in our salvation. So, chapter 10 and verse 14 and verse 7, and you go down through there, verse 10. You know what? He is our protector. He's the door of the sheep. He would sacrifice Himself for us, and so He did. A good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. And then there's 1 Peter chapter 5 that talks about Him as a shepherd. And it's a passage in which Peter is writing to the elders of the church. And he says, and when that great shepherd shall appear, he's talking about Jesus coming back to receive His own in a judgment day. And He comes back to get the people who are His. And he says, when the great shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of life that fades not away. How about that? What do you call Him? He's the great shepherd. All right, let's try another one. John chapter 8 and verse 58. In this remarkable passage, there are the enemies of Jesus pressing Him, always trying to trap Him or to break Him or humiliate Him in some way. Now, what's the name of Jesus in this passage? It is, I am. He said, If you follow my words, you'll never die. You'll live forever. Oh, please, give me a break. What about the prophets? What do you think about prophets? What about Abraham? Abraham and the prophets are already dead, and you think you're better than them? You think that they died, and yet they were great. Would you deny it? And Jesus' response was, Abraham, I love this. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. You can just see their eyes. You are not yet 50 years old. And you say that Abraham saw your day. What are you, crazy? And then Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Grammatically, it's not right, and it catches your attention, and you say, what is the significance of this? But if you're a student of the Bible, you know the significance. Because it goes on, it bounces you back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where Moses is standing at that burning bush, and God says, take off your shoes, it's holy ground, and he doesn't. God says, and I'm paraphrasing, I want you to go and deliver my people from Egyptian bondage. I don't know, Lord. I just don't think I'm the one. I don't think I can do this. I don't. And besides that, the people are not going to receive me. I can imagine. I can go before them and say, I'm going to deliver you. And they're going to say, who sent you? And Father, who will I say has sent me? Remember what God said? You tell them that I am hath sent you. What does it mean? What does it mean that God's name and the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is I am? Folks, it underscores His eternality. He is eternal. What was Jesus' name at the dawn of creation 6,000 years ago? What was His name? You know what? It was I am. Whenever the Lord returns and the trumpet blows, what will be His name then? Same thing. I am. What has been His name for all eternity? And the answer is I am. And it underscores the fact that He never began. Like God the Father, He is eternal. He never had a beginning time and never an ending time. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is forever. What's His name? I am. Let's do one more. Here's John chapter 1 in verse 29. John the Baptist looked and saw Jesus coming along the way. And he said one of the sweetest things I can imagine. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. What's His name? His name is the Lamb of God. The emphasis in this title or this designation for Jesus is that He is the divine sacrifice. He is the Lamb of sacrifice that takes the place of any other. You see, the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 10 and verse 4, it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. I mean, it's not. Those things under the old covenant made atonement for sin in preparation for the Master. But Hebrews chapters 9 and 10 demonstrates that the blood of Jesus went backward as well as forward. And had Jesus not died on the cross, none of us, before or after, could have had salvation. What is He? He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm reading, of course, from Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely, He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. What's His name? What's the value of blood? Well, if you were a soldier during the time of war, it's very difficult to say it, but true, the blood of one man is probably worth relatively little. If you're talking about donating blood, well, I suppose if you went to a blood bank, I don't know what a pint of blood is worth. I suppose there's some money that could be, I guess it has a value, a monetary value. If you go to the Red Cross or similar organization and you give a pint of blood, it's you get a cookie and some orange juice and a warm thank you because that blood is needed. The blood of Jesus was different. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, unto Him, and would you just let this go deep into your soul, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. What's His name? His name, Christians, is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Will you be His disciple? Will you call him Lord? Will you be a follower of Christ? We're going to offer the Lord's invitation right now. And if you are not a Christian, but when you think about him, you want to be part of this. You want to follow him. You want what Jesus through his cross is offering you. I'm telling you, the Lord's invitation is wide open right now. It will not always be open because one day you've got to leave this life, either through death or through the judgment day coming. And we don't know when either of those will occur. You need to be in Christ. If you're not, would you obey the gospel tonight? Would you go ahead and make that decision now? Repent of your sins and confess his name, and we'll baptize you into Christ. And you'll be a child of God. Do you need the prayers of the Christians? We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, please come as we stand and sing. We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.